The following is a Holy Name Retreat, Lecture 2, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on November 10th, 2012, in Ziezmariai, Lithuania.
So, in our second session of this ecstatic Nama retreat, we'll be studying Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 1, verse number 11. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Etam nirvijyamananam vichatam makatobayam. Yoginam nripanirnitam harer namanukirtanam. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the waves of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Purport. In the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been accredited. There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. Generally, the persons are materialists who desire to enjoy the fullest extent of material gratification. Next to them are the transcendentalists who have attained perfect knowledge about the nature of material enjoyment and thus are aloof from such an illusory way of life. More or less, they are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. Above them are the devotees of the Lord who are neither aspire to enjoy the material world nor desire to get out of it. They are after the satisfaction of the Lord Sri Krishna. In other words, the devotees of the Lord do not want anything on their own account. If the Lord desires, the devotees can accept all sorts of material facilities. And if the Lord does not desire this, the devotees can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation. Nor are they self-satisfied, because they want the satisfaction of the Lord only. In this verse, Sri Shukadev Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, and then with the attributes of the Lord, and then with the transcendental nature of the Lord's pastime, etc. Here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authorities. This means that hearing from the authorities is the first essential. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, about his attributes, his pastimes, and so on, and thus the necessity of the chanting of his glories develops successively. This process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but also even for those who are materially attached. According to Shukadev Goswami, this way of attaining success is an established fact concluded not only by him, but also by all other previous acharyas. Therefore, there is no need of further evidence. The process is recommended not only for the progressive students in different departments of ideological success, but also for those who are already successful in their achievement as fruitive workers, as philosophers, or as devotees of the Lord. Srila Jiva Goswami instructs the chanting of the holy name of the Lord should be loudly done, and it should be performed offenselessly as well as recommended in the Padma Purana. One can deliver himself from the effects of all sins by surrendering himself unto the Lord. One can deliver himself from all offenses at the feet of the Lord by taking shelter of his holy name. But one cannot protect himself if he commits an offense at the feet of the holy name of the Lord. Such offenses are mentioned in the Padma Purana as being 10 in number. The first offense is to vilify the great devotees who have preached about the glories of the Lord. The second offense is to see the holy names of the Lord in terms of worldly distinction. The Lord is the proprietor of all the universes, and therefore he may be known in different places by different names, but that does not in any way qualify the fullness of the Lord. Any nomenclature which is meant for the Supreme Lord is as holy as the others because they are all meant for the Lord. Such holy names are as powerful as the Lord, and there is no bar for anyone in any part of the creation to chant and glorify the Lord by the particular name of the Lord as is locally understood. They are all auspicious, and one should not distinguish such names as the Lord as material commodities. The third offense is neglect the orders of the authorized acharyas or spiritual masters. The fourth offense is to vilify scriptures of our Vedic knowledge. The fifth offense is to define the holy name of the Lord in terms of one's mundane calculation. The holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord himself, and one should understand the holy name of the Lord to be non-different from him. The sixth offense is to interpret the holy name. The Lord is not imaginary, nor is his holy name. And there are persons with a poor fund of knowledge who think the Lord to be an imagination of the worshipper, and therefore think his holy name to be imaginary. Such a chanter of the holy name of the Lord cannot achieve the desired success in the matter of chanting the holy name. The seventh offense is to commit sins intentionally on the strength of the holy name. In the scriptures it is said that one can be liberated from the effects of all sinful activities simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who takes advantage of this transcendental method and continues to commit sins on the expectation of neutralizing the effects of sins by chanting the holy name of the Lord is the greatest offender at the feet of the holy name. Such an offender cannot purify himself by any recommended method of purification. In other words, one may be a sinful man before chanting the holy name of the Lord, but after taking shelter in the holy name of the Lord and becoming immune, one should strictly restrain oneself from committing sinful acts with the hope that his method of chanting the holy name will give him all protection. The eighth offense is to consider the holy name of the Lord and his chanting method to be equal to some material auspicious activity. There are various kinds of good works for material benefits, but the holy name and his chanting are not mere auspicious holy services. Undoubtedly, the holy name is holy service, but he should never be utilized for such purposes. Since the holy name and the Lord are one and of the same identity, one should not try to bring the holy name into the service of mankind. The idea is that the Supreme Lord is the supreme enjoyer. He is no one's servant or order supplier. Similarly, since the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord, one should not try to utilize the holy name for one's personal service. The ninth offense is to instruct those who are not interested in chanting the holy name of the Lord about the transcendental nature of the holy name. If such instruction is imparted to an unwilling audience, the act is considered to be an offense at the feet of the holy name. The tenth offense is to become uninterested in the holy name of the Lord, even after hearing of the transcendental nature of the holy name. The effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord is perceived by the chanter as liberation from the conception of false egoism. False egoism is exhibited by thinking oneself to be the enjoyer of the world and thinking everything in the world to be meant for the enjoyment of oneself only. The whole materialistic world is moving under such false egoism as I and mine, but the factual effect of chanting the holy name is to become free from such misconceptions.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Padakamana Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Badang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yodesha Tarine.
You want to be successful? Want to be successful? Everybody like to be successful. All right. Well, here's what you have to do. You have to chant the holy names. Any other success that one may achieve besides devotional service is simply an illusion. Even if you can move up the ladder of material advancement all the way to becoming Brahma, the chief demigod of the whole universe. Your position is still a failure. In other words, people who take the pathway of material success are fools. Because no matter what success they achieve in this material world, it'll all be taken away from them at death. The intelligent people take to the pathway of spiritual success by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Because this will give them a success which is transcendental to this material existence. Because it's transcendental to this material existence, therefore it does not become terminated by the non-manifestation of this material existence when Mahavishnu inhales. Every 311 trillion years. Castles made of sand are washed into the sea. All forms of material success are nothing more than castles made out of sand. So don't make your castle out of sand. Make your castle substantial by basing it on the absolute substantive principle, Krishna. You base your happiness on Krishna. You base your success on Krishna. And you will never be disappointed. You'll never be defeated. You never become morose. You never become bewildered. That is called Krishna consciousness. That's the name of our society, founded by Srila Prabhupada. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This means that the members are cultivating Krishna consciousness. This means that the members are on the pathway of ultimate success. So far surpassing even the positions of the demigods. Therefore, the demigods are waiting for their opportunity to take birth in ISKCON. Demigods are bewildered by material enjoyment. The heavenly planets, there's such amazing enjoyments there. Everyone is so good looking. They have sex without pregnancy until just before they die. They drink a wine called Somaras, which doesn't rot your liver, which doesn't make you dull-brained. It enhances your health and enhances your intelligence. Soma rasa wine. So they really have a good, appear to have a very good thing going on the heavenly planet. But yet they live in constant fear of the demons. And sometimes overrun the heavenly planet. Even Indra loses his throne sometimes. The demons take over his throne. And even if the demons aren't there to take it away, death will take it away. You see. Therefore, this pathway, the Nama Marg, the pathway of the names, you see. This is the only sure pathway to success and happiness in this world. Therefore, we should master it. Following the instructions of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Any chanting is good. Even if you're just a materialist, you see. Even if you chant it sarcastically. Yeah, those Hare Krishnas. They just go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. You see, even people making fun of us, you see. They get benefited. So this is why the more we can do Harinam Sankirtan, the world will become uplifted. But if someone chants it seriously with the desire to awaken their dormant love of God, the power, the result, the effect is incalculable. You may say, but Sankarshan Prabhu, I'm chanting and I don't feel that. I don't feel so much when I chant. Okay. I accept that you don't feel so much. But the benefit, the effect that you're getting, even though you're not feeling it right now, the benefit and the effect is far, far beyond anything you can even imagine. Therefore, whether you feel it or not, keep chanting. Every mantra is taking you closer and closer to the Krishna Loka planet. It may appear that you're still stuck here in the cycle of birth and death. In spite of your chanting. But that's not true. Every mantra you take is taking you closer and closer to Krishna Loka. And the more qualitatively we can chant, that accelerates the process even more. Some people say, well, you know, I'm so offensive, it's better I don't chant. Because I'm very offensive. It's better I don't chant. But you know what? The greatest offense against the Holy Name is not to chant it. So even if your chanting is offensive, you're better off to chant than not chant. Because if you don't chant, you're being even more offensive. But the best thing is, learn how to become free from all offenses. That's why this list is very important. You can note it down, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.11. Purport, that's where it's found. This list is also given in the Nectar Devotion. in a slightly different form. But if you study both lists, it will help you to have a better understanding of the 10 offenses and how to avoid them. An interesting point here in this purport. Prabhupada, just I'll give you a sample. There are various kinds of good works for material benefits. But the holy name of the Lord and His chanting. In other words, Prabhupada is calling the holy name of the Lord Krishna Himself. It's not that the holy name is some inanimate object, simply some sound vibration. The holy name is Krishna. That's why, actually, when we chant Hare Krishna, we are directly associating with Krishna. So we should welcome Him. If some very important guest or a dear friend came to visit you, would you neglect them? Some long-lost friend came to visit you. Oh, you'd be so happy. You'd just be completely absorbed in talking to them, hearing what they have to say, serving them, etc. Isn't it? So what better friend do you have than Krishna? Do you have any better friend than Krishna? Suhridam sarvabhutanam. Krishna confirms, I am the best friend of all living entities. Is it simply some empty words? That Krishna is advertising Himself as the best friend for some material motives? Don't think like that. Krishna proves it by His actions that He's the best friend. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. There is one supreme eternal amongst the plural eternals. There is one supreme conscious being amongst the plural conscious beings. And what is the difference between that one and the many? Eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. He supplies all the necessities of the plural eternals. Krishna is supplying everything to everyone. It's like I saw the gentleman out here getting the wood from the wood pile out here. Who provides the wood? The forest. Who provides the forest? Krishna. Who provides the air that you breathe? Krishna. Who provides the water that you drink? Krishna. Who provides the food? Who gave this house? Who gave your clothes? Who gave your body? Who gave you your parents? Who gave you your country you come from? Who gave you everything? It's all coming from Krishna. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, text number 8. Aham sarvasya prabhava matak sarvam pravartate iti madhva bhajante vang buddha bhava samanvata. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly worship me with all their hearts. So do you want to be one of those wise people? Or do you want to be a dull-headed fool? We have a choice. We can be a dull-headed fool completely caught up in the material energy. What Prabhupada calls sense gratification. We can follow the general populace. We're completely engrossed in sense gratification. If you want to do it, you can do it. It's your choice. Do you want to follow the Bhoga Marg or the Bhakti Marg? The path of sense enjoyment or the path of bhakti? Krishna says those who are wise, they follow the bhakti marg. You see, they realize that actually everything's coming from Krishna. That when you're connected with Krishna, you're connected with everything. Sometimes we see that in this world, somebody will fall in love with someone else, you see. Their only desire is they want to be connected with that person, that one person. You see. And they think, now I am connected with this person, now my life is fulfilled. But it doesn't last forever. And is their life truly fulfilled? No. Your life is not truly fulfilled until you can find that person with whom you can connect yourself and you be connected with everything. Then your life is perfect. So when you connect yourself with Krishna, who is not the simply the light or the oneness, Krishna is a real person. He has activities. He has tastes. He has likes and dislikes. He has a wardrobe. He has musical instruments. He has a place where he likes to spend his time. In the Jamuna, on the Jamuna bank, under the Kalpa Viksha trees. He's a real person. And everything's coming from him. This country, Lithuania, is simply a little tiny spark of a spark of a spark of his unlimited splendor. So if you're wanting to get connected with somebody, you see. If you're looking for an intimate relationship, to really get connected with someone, the acharyas recommend Krishna. Because when you're connected with Krishna, you're completely fulfilled in every possible way. Totally fulfilled. One who is connected with Krishna is not lacking in anything. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 22. Ananyas chintayantomang yejana paryapasate tesham nityabhyuktanam yogachemam bahamyaham. To those who are, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating in my transcendental form, I preserve whatever they have and I carry whatever they lack. Those who take complete shelter of Krishna, Krishna personally gives them everything they need. Prabhupada said he personally delivers to your door whatever you need. Now that's pretty amazing, isn't it? But that when one becomes completely pure devotee, then he, Krishna, takes care, absolutely takes, personally, absolutely takes care of everything he needs. So how do you gain that access? Which is only available for the Paramahamsas. All you have to do is become a Paramahamsa yourself. follow the Paramahamsa Marg. Step by step. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare. This is the Paramahamsa Marg. If you will chant the holy names and you carefully avoid these offenses, that day will come when you become a completely pure devotee, Shuddha Bhakta Paramahamsa. And you will see Krishna. And you will gain your identity in Krishna's pastime. And you'll be in a state of total bliss that goes on increasing unlimitedly forever. So it's up to you, Boga Marg or Bhakti Marg. What Marg do you want to follow? It's your choice at every minute. At every minute we have the option, Krishna or Maya. At every minute we have that choice. Someone has to become very fixed. Okay, Maya, our relationship is finished. We're breaking up, Maya Devi. I've tried to have a relationship with you for many millions of births, thinking that you would satisfy me. But I realized that it was hopeless. So now Maya Devi, we're breaking up. And I only have one love from now on. Krishna, 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 Krishna. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Okay.
What is a possibility for a new devotee to feel Krishna while he's chanting? It is possible.
See?
To feel.
Feel.
Kokios yra galimybės pradėti atsidavusim jausti Krishna kartuojant mantrą?
What is the possibility? Prabhupada said to one of his young female disciples, Vallabhi Devi Dasi, that she should try to feel the presence of Krishna when she chants her rounds. So what is the possibility of actually doing that? Well, the fact that Prabhupada told her to do that means it is possible. And the possibility depends on one's purity of heart. It depends on your degree of sincerity. If you're not very sincere, there's not much of a chance. Not much of a possibility you would feel anything. But if you're very, very sincere, there's a very strong possibility you can actually feel something very special, mystical, transcendental when you chant Hare Krishna. Depends on your degree of sincerity. How sincere are you about becoming a pure devotee? Next question.
Kaip turėtų pasireikšti šitas nuoširdumas kartuojant šventą vardą?
Ką tai reiškia tas nuoširdumas?
Jo, kaip tikėti kalbuoti.
So, how to chant sincere? How to do it? How it looks like? What does it mean, sincerity?
Listen to Prabhupada Japati. That's the answer. Listen to Prabhupada. He's our standard, Prabhupada. Listen to Prabhupada, how he sings the Hare Krishna and the bhajans. You just have to hear Prabhupada's chanting. Prabhupada is the standard. He's the pure devotee. When he sings, it's unbelievable. He's directly connecting with Krishna when he sings. Hear Prabhupada alone. And try to understand and appreciate the sweet, sweet mood of the love that Prabhupada has for Krishna.
Yeah,
pasistengti įvertinti ir pajausti tą saldų jausmą, kurį Prabhupada turi Krishna.
It's not something I can, you know, can be described intellectually.
Tai nereiškia, kad intelektualiai galima suprasti.
You have to experience it.
Turi tai patirti.
And by hearing Prabhupada and trying to deeply meditate on his beautiful, beautiful, sweet mood of devotion, you can get some feeling of what he's, of that mood. And Prabhupada is sometimes going to ecstasy, chanting Jai Radha Madhava. He'd be so absorbed in the sweet bellows of Krishna bhakti that he would lose external consciousness. He would choke up. He couldn't sing. It happened one time in Atlanta. I feel bad, you know why? I arrived the next day. The day after, I came. Guess what happened yesterday? Prabhupada went into ecstasy about chanting Jai Radha Madhava. All the devotees saw it, but I came the next day and I missed it. I heard about it, you know. All the devotees told me, yeah, bro, he was chanting Jai Radha Madhava. He just lost external consciousness.
Wow.
I just, one of my great laments, we were one daily too late for seeing that pastime proper. Next question. Yeah.
Ar mantros kartuojimas gali turėti atvirkštinį poveikį?
Atvirkštinį? Blogą poveikį? Blogą
poveikį.
Neigiamą. Can chanting of mantra have a negative effect for one who is chanting?
Can the chanting have a negative effect? The chanting will always have a positive effect. But negativity can come with it. It's like there's one popular Mayavadi kirtan singer. And he's really a good musician. I mean, he chants Krishna, Hare Krishna, he chants Durga, Durga, you know, all this stuff. And people, even one of my disciples was hearing his kirtan, thinking it was very nice. I had to tell him, don't listen to it. So, Prabhupada said that if we hear from the Hare Krishna from the lips of the Mayavadis, it has poisonous effects. So the name is pure, but it's just like if milk is touched by the lips of a serpent. Milk is pure, but the poison that comes with it is bad. So we should only hear the holy name from those persons who are pure. Or who are following the pathway of one who is pure, Srila Prabhupada. Because their chanting will have great power to purify our hearts. If one is chanting with the idea of merging into Brahman, then it's not very good. There are people who chant that way. They actually think that they're Krishna, and they chant Hare Krishna. I know, because I used to be one of them myself. I used to be a Mayavadi, and I thought I was Krishna. I would chant Hare Krishna, thinking I was Krishna. It's crazy, but it happens. There are people, Mayavadi, who do that. So their kirtan is not very good. We should hear from those who are following the line of Prabhupada, then we know we're in good hands. Does that answer your question? Okay. Next question.
In line with that same question, someone was asking me the other day about prasadam, how if we take prasadam from someone that's not so advanced, we get some of their not so good qualities. So how is that when the prasadam is pure? Like, why doesn't the prasadam override those negative effects that we might get from eating someone's remnants?
Klausimas apie prasadą. Jeigu prasadą gamina nelabai tyras žmogus, ar mes perimam jo tas blogas savybės?
If somebody is not pure, just like, I mean, if somebody is actually sincerely trying to follow this process, and they may not be a Paramahamsa yet,
but
they're sincerely trying to follow this process and they're offering prasadam, then I would certainly take their prasadam and not feel I'm getting contaminated. If a non-devotee cooks, you see, we don't want to offer them. Just like my wife and I, we fly on the airplanes about 60 flights a year. And we're always being offered food on the airplane. Vegetarian food. We can order vegetarian meals if we want. And sometimes we take very long flights, you know, like 8-hour flight. And they offer us two, you know, like two meals. So we don't take it because it's cooked by non-devotees. But if anyone who is sincerely following this process, trying to become a devotee, I don't feel that I'm contaminated if I take their prasadam. I'll accept it from anyone who's sincerely trying to become Krishna conscious. I don't think that, well, you have to be, you know, a very advanced devotee, or otherwise you can. It means that, you know, otherwise we're getting contaminated by your eating your prasadam. Any sincere devotee, of course, actually the standard for the deity worship is the only second initiate should cook. That's the standard for deity worship. Only second, that's Prabhupada's standard for deity worship. But in one's home, even if you're not initiated, and you're sincerely trying to practice Krishna consciousness, I would certainly accept that prasadam and not feel that I'm being contaminated by it. So it sounds to me like somebody's a little bit too, there's like some little, there's some unnecessary phobia going on.
My question is a little different. It's, if you take, like, say, some devotee eats prasadam and they didn't eat all their prasadam, and you take their remnants.
All the remnants.
And if they're not a pure devotee, you're supposed to get maybe some negative effect.
Oh, so you take the remnants of someone.
Yeah, why do you get a negative effect?
Taking their remnants.
Yeah,
oh, okay. That's different.
Prasadam overpower that.
Jeigu mes valgome maisto likučius, kurie žmogus jau prasada valgė ir jam liko lėkštėje, ir mes valgome tokį maistą.
I remember some quote that Prabhupada said we could take the other devotee's remnants. That was okay. Years ago I heard that, but I remember that was a quote. Prabhupada had said that.
Galima valgyti davusių maisto likučius ir nieko tokio.
So, I mean, if somebody's, whose remnants are you talking about that would be contaminated? You're talking about somebody who's some drunkard or something?
No, I mean more like some devotee that's just not so pure. Like, I mean, just any, say a new bhakta or something like that. Or whatever.
See, what we should do is, the standard is, you. The way I was trained by Vishnu Janswam, if you eat, we should serve out just what people can take. It's better to serve a little bit, so they're going to take everything on the plate. And devotees, people should not have to leave anything behind or throw it away. Devotees shouldn't be throwing away prasadam. They should take everything on their plate. They shouldn't leave remnants, that's the point. The spiritual master has a duty to leave remnants for his disciples, but the... When I was in New Bhakti, we were strictly trained to eat everything on your, Vishnuchand Swami wrote a rule on the wall. He said, eat everything on your plate, even if it's an austerity. So it shouldn't be an issue of taking remnants of... We shouldn't be leaving remnants. Devotees shouldn't be leaving remnants. But if they do, it's transcendental. According to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There was one devotee who used to hide, he wanted the remnants of one Vaishnava. And this Vaishnava was very humble, he didn't want to give anybody his remnants. So this devotee would hide outside his house. And then our famous example is Narada Muni. He was an ordinary Shudra boy, by getting the remnants of the Bhaktivedantas, he became the great liberated Narada Muni, the liberated spaceman. This guy getting the remnants of the Bhaktivedantas. So actually we can get the remnants of someone who is Bhaktivedanta. It's the greatest blessing. Prabhupada's remnants. The greatest blessing.
Yeah.
Can not initiated devotee worship Gaur Nitai deities at home?
Anybody can worship Gaur Nitai. Prabhupada even said we can sell them to the karmis. Our Sankirtan devotees can sell Gaur Nitai deities to the karmis and say these are magic dolls. If you wave an incense in front of them, they will fulfill all your desires. Gaur Nitai, Prabhupada wanted to flood the world with Gaur Nitai deities. But other deities only should be taken if one is going to do strict puja every day, you know, bathing and dressing them every day, Mangal Arti every day, evening Arti, at least two Artis a day. Bathing and dressing them every day, so ideally twice a day. Bathing and dressing in the morning and then dressing at night, very strict standard. Gaur Nitai is very liberal, but other deities, Jagannath or Radha Krishna or Nisringadeva or anything like that, you should only be with the permission of one spiritual master. Those who want to have deities, Gaur Nitai is the best bet. You don't have to worry about any offenses. Otherwise, there are what's called seva aparad, which make it inhibit one's path of bhakti. Any other questions?
Yra sakoma, kad mes turėtumėm garbinti instaliuotas dievybės. Tai kuomet bhakti namuose garbina neinstaliuotas dievybės, kaip tai suprasti, ar tai galima pavadinti kaip stabmeldystę ar ne?
It is said that we should worship only installed deities.
Who? At home?
In general.
No. At home, you just worship. You can get Gaur Nitai deities. You don't need an installation ceremony. Gaur Nitai don't. There's no rules and regulations for Gaur Nitai deities. You can just take them and start worshiping them. There's no need for an installation ceremony. If you can do an installation ceremony, then you should follow that with a very strict standard. Mangal Arti every day, bathing and dressing every day, dressing them in the evening in their night clothes. If you want to do an installation ceremony, then you should do a very high standard. never leaving them unserved for your whole life. Your whole life, never leaving them unserved. But if you so if you want a simple standing, then don't do an installation ceremony. You can have a nice kirtan. You don't need a whole fancy ceremony, you know, if you're just not going to worship them regularly. It's like you're giving them this big thing, and then after that, there's no follow-up. You should maintain one standing. Don't disappoint them. You give them this big, huge installation, big, huge feast, a big, huge abhishek, a big, huge thing, and next morning there's no mangalarti. It's like a disappointment, you see. Next question. Yeah.
Ir noriu patarnauti brahmanui. Bet tada turiu vieną tik iniciaciją, žinau mokytojau, kad jūs sutinka tik tai, kada brahmanas yra galima. Aš dar nedabrendau, kad padaryčiau ten pudžeriaučiau, bet labai norėčiau ten gėlės patvarkyti dėlybėm, ten vaisius, kada tik tai, kada brahmanas būna labai užsiėmęs. Ar aš turiu teisę?
Ar jūs turite teisę ant altoriaus gėlės pataisyti?
Nu, gėlės, vaisius, padėt brahmanui.
Tu pudžia. Mataji, on Sundays, helping devotees to make service for deities. But she has only first initiation and she's not going on the altar.
She's not going on the altar. No.
But sometimes devotees is very busy, so she's asking maybe she sometimes can help to put... to arrange flowers on the altar and put some fruits on the altar.
We should get you second initiated. I should put in your request with Kedarnath. Tell him the situation. Tell him you'd like to get second initiated. That's the proper standard. Second initiated only on the altar. So, should put in a request for second initiation. As soon as you're recommended, I'll initiate you. Second initiate you. Yes.
On the last class, someone asked if we hear that someone else chants not clearly enough, can we come to this person and tell him about that? But what if, to us it seems that he's not chanting clearly, and to him it seems that he chants clearly. And he hears every word in mantra clearly and distinctly.
Well, then your advice isn't going to be very helpful. Let me make sure I understand correctly. You can hear that he's not chanting correctly, but he says, I am chanting correctly.
Not that he says he's chanting correctly, but can that happen that someone else, from the side, he hears that someone else chanting not correctly, but in fact, the person hears the words, the names clearly. Can that happen?
Can it happen that they're mistakenly thinking that he's not chanting clearly. Can that happen? Is that what you're asking?
Is this possible that, for example, I'm chanting, and I'm chanting very fast, and but I hear every word, every name clearly, but...
Others think that you're not. You're not chanting everything.
But if someone else would listen to my chanting, they would think that it's not...
That's possible.
That's possible.
Yeah, sure, that's
Can
possible.
Can that be that in my mind I hear...
You may be. But one way to check it is to record it. Record your own chanting and listen to it. That could, if you're in doubt, you make a recording of your own chanting and see if you're getting every syllable. Then you can really check it. You put it on. Get an MP3 player, and then play it back and see. Yeah. Next question.
Dėl pirmojo to klausimo buvo antra dalis apie tai, kad neinstaliuotų dievybių garbinimas ar netampa stabmeldystė.
If we worship not installed deities, it is not a dull worship. If you worship not installed deities, isn't that it is...
Actually, if you worship deities for a long enough period of time, they're as good as installed deities. So what kind of deities do you have?
Yeah.
Well, some devotees already have deities that, you know, they're not... If you have deities already, then try to we encourage you. We don't tell you... Someone may have Jagannath deities, for example. So it's okay. Well, we encourage you, all right, and I'll raise your standard then. Increase the standard. Instead of criticizing them, we just encourage them on a major standard. Rise every morning for Mangalarti, offer Mangalarti every day. It's because we have to understand that God is a person. Jagannath is actually Braj Krishna, he is Vrindavan
Krishna.
So we invite him to our home, and now we have. Just like if you have a baby, are you gonna feed him every day, or are you gonna let him starve? You gonna bathe and dress him every day, or are you gonna let him just be dirty and haggard? So if we actually invite Krishna to come and live with us, then we have to treat him with great. We have to give him a lot of service. We have to serve him every day. So if someone already has deities, they should, and they're not doing the proper standard, then increase your standard, that's all. You'll be happy. Oh, wow, this is wonderful. You'll actually realize that God is present. If you don't serve Krishna regularly every day, you won't feel He is present. But if you treat him as if he is personally present in your home, you feed him, you dress him every day, offer him arti every day, then you'll actually feel, yes, Krishna is here. You'll feel his presence. Your home will be transformed into the spiritual world. Is there any other questions?
Ką reiškia kartojimo šlovinti viešpatį, tai yra kartu viešpatį asmenybę.
Ką
reiškia šlovinti? O, kartojimo šlovinti viešpatį, tai yra kartu viešpatį asmenybę. Ten buvo komentarė, sako.
Ką reiškia kartuoti viešpatį asmenybę?
What does it mean to chant, to glorify for the Lord's pleasure?
To chant and glorify?
For
the Lord's pleasure.
Yes, what does it mean?
Well, Krishna likes to be glorified.
Krishna mėgsta būti šlovinamas.
He does. He likes it. But even more importantly, he wants us to be happy. And because we are subordinate to him, we are part and parcel of him, we are meant to love and serve him. His happiness of the chanting is not his ego glorification, but it's that we become reestablished in our loving relationship with him. That's what really pleases him. Krishna is not that crazy to be worshipped himself. In fact, Prabhupada says sometimes he becomes disgusted he's being worshipped so much. That's why he arranged that some of his devotees will chastise him like Mother Yasoda. So Krishna's interest when he says, Satatam kirtayanto mam, always chant my glories. See, that's for our benefit. Does that answer your question, Vaishnava Seva? Okay, any other question?
Iš tikrųjų moktas labai įkvepiančiai paprastai pateikė mums apie šventus Dievo vardus, nesigilindamas į vieną aukštą filosofiją, dėl kad, reiškia, kiekvienas iš 10 punktų jie turi tokią gilią filosofiją. Tai man dabar toks klausimas kilo, iš tikrųjų, nu, kaip ir nėra to tikėjimo giliai šventais Dievo vardais, kadangi iš vienos pusės sakoma, kad tai, reiškia, šventi Dievo vardai yra maloningesni net už patį viešpatį. Tačiau jie nepanaikina tų 10 pagrindinių principų žydimų. Jie yra iškeliami kaip tarsi aukščiau už to šventus Dievo vardus. Kodėl taip yra?
Mataji thinks that these 10 offenses is more powerful than the holy name, because even if we're chanting with this offense, this offense, if we're still making this offense, they counteract the effect of the holy name. So it means that this offense is more powerful.
The offenses are more powerful than the holy name. That's what she's saying?
She said that if you're chanting with offense,
yeah,
and you continue doing this offense, then there is no effect because of this offense.
So no, there is effect. But it's very small. It's like you're lighting the fire, but you're pouring water on it at the same time. Even with offenses, if one continues to chant Hare Krishna, then the offenses will go away in due course of time by the power of the holy name. The holy name is more powerful than the offenses. But it will be a long, slow process if you commit the offenses. It will take many, many lifetimes. Therefore, to be kind upon your spiritual master, that he doesn't have to take birth again to save you from this material world. You should be very serious to give up your offenses in this lifetime. Because the guru will have to take birth again to save you if your chanting is offensive. Okay?
Čia dar toks yra vienas toks svarbus momentas, kuris man kelia, kad reiškia iš tiesų, kad protas nurimtų ir mes giliai galėtume medituoti, reikia sėdėti nuo tos pozai, o man tai neišėina, aš neturiu šito padaryti.
To make the mind satisfied, we have to sit in lotus.
Lotus?
Yeah, I can't sit in lotus.
No, lotus is not required. You can sit in any comfortable way. You can sit in a chair, on a couch if you have to. Whatever helps you to be comfortable and be focused is fine. There's no hard and fast rule.
Bet kokia sėdės, ar ant sofos, ar ant kėdės, kas padeda jums susikoncentruoti, tinka.
We don't advise that you sit like this, though. You know.
Nerekomenduojame taip sėdėti.
Prabhupada said, sit properly. But he didn't require we had to sit in the lotus, you know, cross to do the full lotus. It's not required. Although if one can do a full lotus and chant, you know, there's no harm. Actually, Prabhupada did say if there's one thing that the Guru Kula children can learn, and that's to sit with a straight back. A good posture is helpful for chanting japa. Any other question?
Man vienas klausimas neduoda ramybės. Ar galima per kadašį aukoti maistą, mes aukojame pančiotašį, ar galima aukoti maistą, kuris nėra tinkamas per kadašį nuo to?
Grūdus. Can we offer grains to panchatatva during Ekadashi day.
Yes. They are transcendental to the rules and regulations. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. But you can't take the remnants.
Ar nėra taip, kad atidus džiapos kartojimas taip pat yra Guru ir Krišnos malonė, kad baktas kartais gali dėti didelės pastangas kartoti atidžiai, tačiau tas atidus kartojimas ateina tik tais malonės dėka, ar nėra taip?
Sometimes devotee can put big endeavor to chant in focus.
What?
Can put a lot of energy.
Lot of energy.
To chant focus.
Focused.
But it's not coming. Isn't that only by Guru and Krishna mercy we can concentrate on holy name?
Yeah, that's true. It's not that it's by mechanical, like a yogi mechanically fixing his mind at one point that you can absorb yourself in the name. That's a fact. One requires the mercy of Guru and Krishna, that's a bit. By the mercy of one's spiritual master, one can develop Shuddhanam, the pure name. Therefore, every devotee should become initiated in due course of time and be totally dedicated to serving their spiritual master. That dedication to the spiritual master will become manifest also in the holy name, how one experiences the holy name. Next question.
The Panchatattva mantra we chanting, it is enough only 3 times chant before our rounds, or we should chant before every round?
It's not required to chant it before each round. On Prabhupada's japa tape, you don't hear him chanting the Panchatattva mantra even once. When I joined the movement, no one chanted the Panchatattva mantra before their japa. No one did that. But then when the Chaitanya Charitamrita came out emphasizing the potency of this mantra, some devotees said, well, they got the idea that we should do this. But Prabhupada never ordered us we had to do that. He never said you have to chant Panchatattva before you chant your japa. Any other questions?
Ašaros yra požymės teisingo kartojimo, bet jeigu jos yra retos arba visai jų nėra, ar tai reiškia, kad jau visai tai kartojimo?
Tears is good sign for a good chanting, but if tears...
When?
Tears.
Tears?
It's a good sign for good chanting.
Tears are a sign of good chanting?
Yes. But if this comes very rarely or not coming, it means that my chanting is bad. Or
not necessarily. Hari Hari, let's see, Goranga Burite Habe Pulakasha Hari. Hari Hari, Bolite Nayani Bhaveni. Narottam is praying. When will that day come by chanting Hare Krishna? I have tears coming from my eyes. He's praying for that day. So if one is actually chanting and getting some tear in the eyes, he's very, very fortunate. Very fortunate.
But it's not that you had to. It's not that you have to have tears in the eyes to be properly chanting Hare Krishna.
Not required. No, I have to have tears, otherwise my japa is no good. No, not like that. If you're calling out to the Lord in the mood of a child trying to be rescued by the mother, then your japa is good. Tears or no tears. If you're calling out like a child crying to the mother, then your japa is good. Next question.
Ну, пастовые поскидосы с лейкера вещи с картонами, как какие-то супрюсы, там, как точно тут я говорю, с виска, как вещи с не пульте, о то почу, вещи с ищенам, как его наш вена карта с картоя, Хари Кришна, ты вот ко пасеки, вот кашки манера то тикейма, как его ж могу с Евгений смотрел, листа за там, да, кашка с покатовой Кришна, ты там ее jo gyvenimas bus išgelbėtas, jeigu mes tiek kartuojam ir dar mes turime gelbėtis.
I am lacking faith. If someone chants only once, then he becomes saved, because we chanting so many times, but still I am not pure. So if someone chants only once, so does his life become saved?
One can chant Hare Krishna one time. If he chants it with complete purity, that one utterance of Hare Krishna will liberate him fully. That's possible. But it depends on the purity of the chanting. Because our chanting is not so pure like that. We're practicing every day and trying to develop that mood of purity. But the fact is, one pure utterance of Krishna destroys millions of lifetimes of sins immediately. So if one seriously takes up this chanting of Hare Krishna and never again breaks the regulated principles, they're already a liberated soul. So, you have taken initiation. If you will faithfully chant 16 rounds every day and strictly avoid the four pillars of sinful life, then you're already liberated. You've already achieved deathlessness. Next question.
Jeigu gudraudamas tam didesnei ar mažesnei žmonių grupei juos padarai, kad jie kartotų šventą vardą, arba bent jau Hari Bol, ar tai bus įžeidimas, gudrauja. Jie nežino apie tai, bet padarai, pavyzdžiui, šito bevėlio interneto slaptažodį Hari Bol. Ar tada bus įžeidimas?
If by trick you make someone to chant holy name, for example, you make the
By trick. Okay.
For example, you make internet password Hari Bol or something like this, and people chanting or writing holy name, it is not offense.
No, it's great. Give the whole world a chant.
Yeah, very good.
George Harrison, he very expertly got Hare Krishna, stuck Hare Krishna upon all the Christians. You know, they were going, oh, my sweet Lord, hallelujah. They were all into it. Yeah, yeah. And Hare Krishna. They just snuck it in there, you know. It's great. So if you can somehow get him to chant Hare Krishna, it's very good. By hook or by crook.
It's like someone says, you know, I can't stand chanting. I can't stand your mantra. You can say, well, why don't you want to chant Hare Krishna? Tell me why you don't want to chant Hare Krishna. He says, well, I hate Hare Krishna because it's Hindu. Well, thank you, you just chanted it. So somehow I get them to chant Hare Krishna. Okay, next question.
Yes, Srila Gurudev, there's one famous story of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur speaking to a group of sadhus, and he said, of you, who has not performed illicit sex in the last 6 months?
Right.
No one could stand up to it. Also, he said, even in the last 24 hours.
Right.
And they all admitted their fault.
Right.
So, does that mean that if we're even contemplating sinful activity, we're also being
offended? No, they were actually doing it. They were actually guilty. It wasn't just contemplation. But it's also a fact that one should not meditate on having sex. If you got pretty girls dancing around your brain, then that's a violation of brahmachari principles. This is true for brahmacharis and grihastha brahmacharis as well, and sannyasi brahmacharis and vanaprastha brahmacharis. The fact is, and the same thing works for the ladies thinking about men, we have a tendency to be attracted to the opposite sex. That tendency has kept us in the cycle of birth and death for millions and billions of lifetimes. So to get free from that is not easy. Because you see a pretty girl and then, you know, you're meditating on the pretty girl. So what you have to do is find somebody more beautiful than that pretty girl. That you can meditate on that person. And then that pretty girl won't attract you anymore. Because you found somebody who is more pretty than she is. Krishna. In this way, just become very much enamored by beautiful Krishna. His beautiful body, his amazing face, and above all, his soft, honey-scented smile. Just try to become enchanted in this way, you see. Just like Radharani, she says, Manavara vanadina jalavina yena mina Krishna vina chani marayaya madhuryaha shavadane mananetra sayane Krishna trishna dviguna vadaya. Just remember this nice verse of Radharani. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Wow, I love that shloka. Mana mora vamadina jalavina yena mina Krishna vina chane mariyaya madhurya hasya vanane mana netra yasayane Krishna trishna dviguna vadaya. You can look it up. It's CC Ancha 1759. It's one of the CC Ancha 1759. One of the sweetest gems in all the Vedic literatures. Spoken by Srimati Radharani, our mother, our original mother. Radharani says like this. She says, if I do not think of Krishna, my impoverished mind will die immediately. Just like a fish out of water. But when I see Krishna's sweetly smiling face, madhurya hasya vadane, Mana netraya sayane. My mind and my eyes become so pleased. Krishna trishna dviguna badaya. My thirst for Krishna immediately doubles. So, if you're thinking of a beautiful girl, you're a fish out of the water, flapping in agony on the beach. You see, if you think you girls are thinking of a beautiful, a handsome looking guy, you're flapping in agony on the beach. So, you just have to see the sweet Krishna's sweetly smiling face. In your ashram or in your home, you should have some beautiful pictures of Krishna, you see. So whenever you get lusty, thinking about some beautiful girl or some handsome-looking guy, you can just go look at Krishna. And then, as Radharani says, when I see his sweetly smiling face, my thirst for Krishna doubles. So it's not a gross fall down, but it is a subtle deviation to think about pretty girls or good-looking guys. It is a subtle fall down, yeah. From become a fish out of water when does that. Does that answer your question? I mean, Krishna is so good looking. I mean, who, what girl or what guy can compete with Krishna's beauty, you know? It's not possible. I mean, who has feet as beautiful as Krishna's feet? I mean, his, every part of his body, it's so beautiful. You know, everything about him, you know? Venam kvanantamadavindadalaya taksam barhavatam samasidam buddhasundarangam kandarpakoti kamaniya visheshu shobam govindamadipurusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept at playing on his flute with blooming eyes like lotus petals, head decked with a peacock feather, with a figure of beauty tinged with the hue of blue clouds. And his unique loveliness is charming millions of cupids. Show me any girl who can do that, you know, or any guy who can do that, you know. You won't find anybody as good looking as Krishna. You like to look at beautiful people? Just feast your eyes on Krishna. Wow! Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You see. Okay, next question. Yeah.
Ko dvasinis mokytojas tikisi iš iniciacijos siekiančio mokinio? Kokie lūkesčiai dvasinio mokytojo iš iniciacijos
siekiančio? What is expectation from aspiring disciples who has a spiritual master?
What does that mean?
What expectation spiritual master has?
Oh. For someone who isn't, it's like I have a number of aspiring disciples here in the room right now, you see. So I want them to chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulated principles. Avoid the 10 offenses. Read Prabhupada's books. Only take prasadam and regularly associate with the devotees and tell people about Krishna. Broadcast the glories of the Lord. to save these poor suffering people of Lithuania. If I have an aspiring disciple who's doing those things, I'm very, very pleased with him. Such an inspiring disciple will very soon become initiated. Any other questions? Yeah.
Vedose yra daug aprašymų apie Radą Krišną, ten išvaizdą, visos detalės, bet tenka matyti ir daug tokių paveikslų, kurie turi labai daug skirtumų. Tarkim, ar tai yra kažkokios taisyklės priešos, ar tai yra viso menininko interpretuoti, ar galima kažkokios skirtingus, kurios atrinkti paveikslus, statytis kaip autorių ir karpintinius.
There is many different paintings of Radha Krishna. They are very different.
Yeah.
So there is some exactly painting. We should take a standard, or we have to choose whatever we like.
And we follow the standard of Prabhupada. The paintings that he accepted as suitable, those are the ones that we accept. I'm very conservative in that regard. Actually, just as a matter, since you've asked, there, I don't normally say anything, but there are certain paintings that are popular in ISKCON that I can't stand them. I'm not going to point out specific paintings, because somebody may have it in their wall and may be offended. But Prabhupada said that Krishna, he told Jadarani that Krishna should not be painted with muscular way. There's one popular painting of Krishna and Radharani. Krishna looks like a you don't have it here, but in America, American football. It's very big in the U.S. American football. In the high school, the football team, they are the most prestigious guys in the whole school. The football players, you see. And there's one position called the quarterback. And he's the most prestigious position in the whole football team. So, and then the head cheerleader, you see, the women, the girls who be the cheerleaders, the top, the head cheerleader and the head quarterback, they're the most prestigious kids in the whole high school, you see. So when I see that particular painting of Radha and Krishna, it looks to me like the store quarterback and the top cheerleader. It doesn't look, they look like Americans dressed up as Radha and Krishna. That, you know, it doesn't look like Radha and Krishna to me. It reminds, the classic Friday night date of a guy going out with a girl back when I was in high school was in a 57 Chevy, 57, 1957 model Chevrolet. You go, you have your girl sitting beside you in the front seat, and you go down to the A&W root beer place and order you some French fries and a hamburger. And that's like the classic American Friday night date. So when I see that Radha and Krishna, it just reminds me of that. I can't stand it. It doesn't look like Radha and Krishna to me. They look too American. They don't look Vedic, they look American in that one painting. She's cuddled up, you know. Radha and Krishna, you know. This way, I think. She's cuddled up on Krishna. It doesn't look like the Radha and Krishna to me. It looks like American boyfriend and girlfriend out on their Friday night date. That painting was after Prabhupada left the planet. That became popular. I like the more classical style paintings, the ones that Prabhupada approved. Now, I don't make a big deal out of it because I know devotees all have their tastes, but you ask me and I'm giving you my personal feelings on it. There's another painting, it looks like they're so lusty they're practically going to drool. Have saliva coming out of their mouths, they look so lusty. In one painting, it's ISKCON painting now. It's not, as far as I'm concerned, it's not Radha and Krishna. It's not proper painting. But if we stick to the original paintings that were authorized by Prabhupada, and then those paintings are very, very special and wonderful paintings. So it's a rather complicated subject, I guess. But there are certain paintings I would put on my wall and certain that I wouldn't put on my wall.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that answers it somewhat. Okay, next question. Yeah.
Why Radha doesn't have a tilaka? Radharani doesn't have a tilaka.
What's she saying?
Why Radharani doesn't have tilaka?
Who?
Radharani.
It's it's described in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya that she is wearing the tilak of good fortune. You've seen some painting where she's not wearing tilak? Her tilak is described in the Chaitanya, in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Next question.
Could you please tell something about Radha Damodar? Because we know stories from Krishna book about Yashoda and Damodar, but I personally don't know anything about Radha Damodar. Could you please tell something?
Ar mokytis galėtų papasakoti kokią nors istoriją apie Radha Damodar?
They're standing right here.
He's asking about original Radha Damodar.
Yeah, I know.
Not the deities.
I know. But these are not different. I don't know specifically any specific pastimes about Radharani tying up Damodar. You mean Krishna being tied up by Radharani and the gopis? Is that what you mean? Because Damodar means tied around the belly with rope. So there are some pastimes actually of where the gopis and Radharani are tying up Krishna. But I don't know them. But these can be researched. There are some interesting pastimes. I don't know them. What is it? Oh, you want to tell? Oh, come on. You told us there's a pastime and now you said, but I won't tell you. Huh? Krishna and gopis both. You want to tell it a little bit? Okay.
I'm not qualified.
Yeah, there's some really nectarian pastimes there. I don't know that particular pastime. Next question.
Why does not recommend to meditate on Radharani? Why we should
Who recommends? Was it?
Why does not recommend that to meditate on Radharani?
No, we meditate on Radharani with Krishna. Together we meditate. Hare means we're calling Radharani and Krishna. We meditate on Radharani and Krishna together. Hare Krishna. Not separately. Because separately means we're separating them. Radharani does not want to be separated from Krishna. So you meditate on Radharani only, you're separating her from Krishna. She is not pleased and Krishna is not pleased. Therefore we meditate them together, Radha Krishna, Hare Krishna. Anything else? Yeah?
Noriu, kad mokytas patikslintų, kada kartuojame šitą vardą, jis skirtingi bhakti turi skirtingas nuomonės, ką ir kaip reikėtų medituoti. Vieni bhakti mėgina įsivaizduoti kažkokius žaidimus, kiti bhakti mėgina kažkokį paveiksliuką stebėti, kiti klauso švento vardo vibracijos ir kaip yra tinkamai kartuojama švento vardas, į ką reikėtų medituoti.
What is proper meditation while we chanting? Some devotees say that we can meditate on some lila, some devotees meditate on some picture, or some devotees meditate on the sound vibration. What is proper
meditation? What's the proper meditation while chanting? Shall meditate on some picture of Krishna, some pastime of Krishna, the name of Krishna? What is the proper way to understand how to chant? Well, what is the shloka in the Brihadaranya Purana? Haranama, 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 Ivakevalam. Is it Hararupa, 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 Haralila, Haralila, Haralila? No, it's Haranama, Harinama, Harinam. The sloka says we should meditate on the name, not the lila or the form. Now, if the lila or the form spontaneously arises when you're meditating on the name, that's great.
Bet jeigu medituojant į šventą vardą spontaniškai iškyla jums prieš akis kažkokia tai lila, tai yra gerai.
But if you will focus on the name, everything is there in the name.
Bet jeigu jūs koncentruositės į vardą,
every one of Krishna's achintya lilas, his inconceivable pastimes, are all contained within the name.
Visas Krishna's lilas, visi žaidimai yra tame varde.
Every one of his pastimes, every single one of his forms, his qualities, absolutely everything about Krishna, name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, etc., is all there within the two syllables, Krishna.
Visos Krishna's formos, žaidimai, ir istorijas, viskas yra dviese, žodėje Krishna.
So in this age, the name is the access point to everything. In the previous yuga, they would focus on the form, the deity worship. But this is not the age of deity worship. That was the Dvapara yuga. In this Kali yuga, we focus on nama. Because nama is how we access everything. So, we've gone for 2 hours now. I think we can end here. And there's another session now at what time? Okay, so now there's Vishadam. And then another session at 3, and that will be the end of the retreat. Okay. Okay. So we thank you all very much. Now I see the more people have come. This is great. We welcome all of you who have come, latecomers, to this Nama retreat. So now we'll continue diving deeper and deeper into the nectarian mellows of Krishna Bhakti Rasa. Achilabai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
Krishna Bhakti Rasa Madhava ki
jai.